إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله
forgiveness and we seek refuge with him from the evils of our days and the evils of ourselves. We bear witness that there is no God worth
Allah.
May the present blessings of Allah be upon him and his followers until the end. We stopped last time at the topic of the
what is الإنسان يمكث في المسجد
ويلازم ويلزم
التقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى هذا المكث
هذا
هو
And as we said that previously that the definition of i'tikaf is for one to spend some time in the masjid for the sake of coming closer to
Allah. والتسبيح والتحميد والتهليل والتكبير. التسبيح هو قول سبحان الله، والتحميد قول الحمد لله، والتهليل قول لا إله إلا الله، والتكبير قول الله أكبر. كل هذه
Now the things that are most beloved or most favorable to do when somebody is performing i'tikaf
يقول الله سبحانه الحديث القدسي من ذكرني في ملأ
is to of course to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to always invoke the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to glorify him and to thank him and to praise him as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
فالمعتكف
commanded us to do, to mention, to invoke his name and to make supplication to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you remember me, I will remember you, meaning that I will take care of you.
أيضا مما يشغل به المعتكف وقته
and also الصلاة to invoke
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
prayer and supplication for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى عليه صلاة صلى الله عليه وسلم
who said that whoever invokes prayer upon me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond with 10 times the prayer and supplication for that person. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prays on somebody, it means that he forgives him and he blesses him.
في رمضان فإنه صائم، إذا كان المعتكف صائما فإن الصائم يعني دعوته مستجابة، والمعتكف الليل يقوم الليل ويصلي في الثلث الأخير الذي يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في قلب
Among the things that are very good to do when one is performing i'tikaf is to perform qiyam or to stand up in prayer, as the prayer at night is actually the best prayer after the obligatory prayer, as the Prophet and also to take advantage of the moonlight and the, all the times, the favorable times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that they have some special special status, like the last third of the night.
قال ومما يدخل في هذا الباب دراسة العلم.
Also among the things that are good to do, for example, to seek knowledge, religious knowledge, and to study about the lives of the biographies of the righteous people before us, and to in order to get the lessons and to benefit from the style and their lives for our own lives and for our own benefit. So overall, I mean, we have to keep in mind that the person who is staying in the mosque for the purpose of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should use all that time to do things that will bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplications, praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And
what have you.
And also it's recommended for the person to take something like a tent, something that he will have some privacy in, like a tent or anything like that, a divider that will separate him from the other people making itikaf, and that's following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, who used to take and to erect a tent
مسألة الخباء يعني السنة بشرط ألا يغلق على المصلين ويؤذيهم.
And as we will inshallah come upon this later on, that the condition for this tent should be that it shouldn't harm the Muslims, the Arab people. It should be something that's very simple and nothing that will harm the other Muslims, otherwise the whole masjid will be ordered. If everybody wants to do as he wishes, then the whole masjid will be used up by a few people making itikaf, and that's not that shouldn't be the case. When we talk about favorable things to do or recommended things to do, these are things that as the definition of what's favorable or a favorable act is something that we were asked by the legislator, by the religious legislator to to do, but not in an obligatory fashion, not as an obligatory act, but a recommended thing. So it's like a recommendation.
And just like
things are things that we are ordered to stay away from, but they're not haram. They're not forbidden, but they're disliked, meaning that we have. It's better for us to
لما رواه الترمذي وابن ماجه عن أبي بصرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه.
Now one of the things that are disliked, or it's better for one to stay away from, is to stay to mind one's own business, as it came in a hadith. In a saying by the Prophet ﷺ that he said that an indicator of the belief of a person or one's faith is to mind his own business. And even though this is not an the rank of this hadith is questionable, some say it's a good hadith and some say it's a weak hadith, but the meaning of this hadith is actually correct, because the Prophet ﷺ he discouraged us from going after people's affairs, people's personal affairs, to ask people about their private things, about their private affairs, sometimes to the point of being obnoxious. and bothersome. So these are things that one is recommended to stay away from.
يعني لا تعنيك يعني لا تسأل عنها بكم اشتريت سيارتك بكم بيتك إيجار ولا
like how much you paid for your car or how much you pay in rent or these things vary from one place to another about how personal they are, but one should be act very sensitive, should be very sensitive to the personal affairs of others, because you might put your brother in an awkward situation where he doesn't like to tell you, and he might have to lie to you if you push him, for example. So we, it's better for us to not pursue these or not pursue things that are none of our business.
قال ويكره له الإمساك عن الكلام ظنًا منه أن ذلك مما يقرب إلى الله عز وجل.
Also, it is not recommended for one to stay silent and to refrain from talking, thinking that this is an act that brings him closer to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, because this is not true. It is permissible for a person making a kaf to talk as long as he stays away from foul talk. It was narrated by Al-Bukhari that the Prophet ﷺ once was giving a sermon.
ولا يستظل ولا يتكلم ويصوم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وجد رجلا قائما.
So while he was delivering the sermon, he saw a standing person. He saw a person standing up. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he asked why that person was talking. So they said, the people said that this is Abu Israel. He vowed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stand and never sit down and never seek, never take shade under anything from sun, and never to talk and to fast all the time.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فليتكلم وليستظل وليتم صلاته. وهو كان نذر أربعة أشياء.
Ask him to sit down and to talk and to take shade and to complete his fast. So what we understand from these is that the man made a vow to do four things. Only one of them was in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rest, the other three were in violation of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those are not to talk and to stand up all the time and not to take shade. So the Prophet ﷺ told him to break that vow, to do all those three things, and to only complete the fast. So, in other words, that we cannot make a pledge or vow to do something to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet did not do, like those things, like not eating, for example, not resting or not sitting down or things like that.
اليتيم ومن فقد أباه، فظل وصف اليتم يعني قائما بهذا الطفل الذي فقد أباه إلى أن يبلغ هذا الطفل سن الاحتلام أو سن البلوغ. فإذا وصل الطفل يعني إلى سن البلوغ يزول عنه وصف اليتم، خلاص يعني يزول عنه وصف اليتم والأحكام المتعلقة يعني باليتيم وكذا تزول عنه إذا بلغ. إذا بلغ خلاص يقال إيه كان يتيم، لكن بعد ما بلغ خلاص زال عنه وصف اليتم بالبلوغ، لا يتم بعد احتلامه. كذلك أيضا الذي توفي أبوه وكان الولد يعني جاوز سن البلوغ ثم توفي أبوه أيضا لا يعتبر يتيما، وإلا يعني أصبح الناس كلهم أيتام، كل واحد يموت أبوه رجل 40 سنة ولا فتاة لا يكون يتيم. يتيم هو إيه؟ مات أبوه وهو والولد يعني كان أقل من سن البلوغ، ويظل وصف اليتم مؤقتا يعني إلى أن يصل إلى سن البلوغ ثم إيه يرتفع عن وصف اليتم بعد ذلك، لا يعتبر يتيم. وتتمة الحديث ولا صمات يوم إلى الليل، هذا موضع الشاهد منه يعني لا سكوت يوم إلى الليل، لا لا يجوز الإنسان يظل ساكتا من أول اليوم يعني إلى آخره يعني ملزما نفسه بذلك يعني. لكن لو اتفق يعني مثلا قضى واحد مثلا مريض ولا حد وضع مثلا يعني شيء دواء
اتكامل نظر أوثنتك حديث تفرق صلى الله عليه وسلم سيد
ليس
there is no orphanage after the age of puberty and one should not vow to not talk for a whole day and about the first part of this hadith is that the description or the adjective of an orphan is a limited one for an orphan is the one who has lost his parents in while he is young, while he is still a child. And this condition actually goes away by the child reaching the age of puberty. Then after that he can no longer be called an orphan. Otherwise everybody will be an orphan at some time in his life, or most of the people will be orphans. Also, if somebody loses his parents after the age of puberty, he cannot be called an orphan. And in the second part of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that one should not vow not to talk for a whole day, meaning that to deliberately not talk. And think that he is doing that for a reason, for as a form of worship or anything like that. That's something that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade. But of course, if somebody is sick or there is no reason for one to talk, and he doesn't talk, there is no harm in that. As long as he does not make a vow to not talk for a certain period of time.
فلا بأس أن يعني يخرج من المسجد يوصلها إلى البيت، يعني إذا جاء يعني من يزوره أو كذا في الاعتكاف يباح له أن يخرج من المسجد ليوصله إلى
among the permissible things for one to do when he's performing اعتكاف one of them is to
كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
show somebody off to the door when a visitor comes to visit, then it is permissible for one to show him
to the door. فقام معي ليقلبني. هنا انقلبت يعني ذهبت راجعة إلى البيت أو صرفت راجعة إلى البيت.
So the person may leave his place of etiquette to bid farewell to his wife. Safiya reported the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was performing a prayer and I went to visit him during the night. I talked to him and then I got up to go. He got up with me and accompanied me to my house. Her residence was in the house of Usama ibn Zayd. Two men of the Ansar passed by them, and when they saw the Prophet ﷺ, they quickened their pace. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Hold on, she is Safiya bint she is Safiya bint Huyay." They said, "Glory be to Allah, O Messenger of Allah. We did not have any doubt about you." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Satan flows in the person like blood." I fear that he might have whispered some slander into your heart. This is related by Bukhari, Muslim, and Abu Dawud. So in this hadith, one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, was Safiya, she went to visit him when he was in i'tikaf. So when she got up to leave, the Prophet ﷺ got up and accompanied her to her house. And on their way, two of the Ansar, they saw them and they saw the Prophet ﷺ walking with a woman, so they started walking faster. So the Prophet ﷺ noticed that and he called them back and said, "This is Safiya," meaning this is my wife. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to expel or to eliminate any chance for Shaitan to whisper to them anything evil. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "This is Safiya." So they said, "Subhanallah, glory to Allah, glory be to Allah. How can we have any doubt about you?" So the Prophet ﷺ then said, "Shaitan or Satan flows in the person like blood," meaning that the person does not feel when Shaitan is active in him, just like blood flows in one's veins and arteries. Without feeling that Shaitan also performs his acts and flows in a person like his blood without feeling. And that this, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to teach us a lesson to expel any doubt or any suspicion that might arise from one doing something. So if he feels that somebody misunderstood him, or there is a chance that somebody might misunderstand something that he's doing, he should clarify it and expel any chance for doubt or for suspicion. For example, if a poor person is appointed, for example, to a post, and then after that, after he was appointed, something happened to him that he all of a sudden became rich. And he might have become rich because, for example, one of his relatives died and he left a big inheritance that he got a good share of it, or something like that. So people will start questioning about him, will start wondering that maybe, you know, he got rich because he started receiving bribery. And so in that case, the person should take any chance or any opportunity to clarify that and say that I became rich because such and such of my relatives died and he left me a good amount of money, for example.
مثلا في موقف يعني وهو بريء وكذا ولكن موقف يعني يجلب له شبهة أو يجلب له تهمة فيحاول يعني يبرئ نفسه ويفسر.
So if anyone is seen in a place, for example, that might be misunderstood, then he should clarify that to the people who see him, that not to think evil of him, and that it's not how it appears.
موقف أخيه المسلم على أحسن يعني التفسيرات ويحمله على أحسن الحال من باب يعني ظن الخير.
And actually for the Muslim, he should always think well of somebody, of his brother, that if he sees him in a place that he might be misunderstood, he should always give him the benefit of the doubt, and he should not start thinking evil of him. But again, at the same time, the person who is seen in a questionable state, he should come out and clarify that I was in at that place, for example, because I wanted to do such and such thing, or I was waiting for somebody to give him a book of a copy of the Quran or something like that, because in order to in order to not leave any chance for suspicion.
أن يعني هنا يعني قال في تاريخ ابن عساكر عن إبراهيم بن محمد قال كنا في مجلس ابن عيينة والشافعي حاضر فحدث بهذا الحديث وقال فقال الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله يعني في تفسيره الحديث قال إذا كنتم كذا تفعلوا حتى لا يظن منكم ظن السوء.
And he mentioned this hadith, and then after that he said that if actually Sufyan ibn Uyayna is the teacher of Shafi, and Sufyan ibn Uyayna is the one who mentioned this hadith, and then Shafi interpreted it, and he said that if you are seen in this situation, then act as the Prophet ﷺ did, meaning that if you are seen in a suspicious place or in a suspicious state while you're not that way, then you should come out and explain so that people will not misunderstand and will not suspect your behavior. Then Sufyan ibn Uyayna, then he praised and commended Shafi'i, and he said, may Allah reward you good for this interpretation. We never get anything, everything that we get from you is good.
So, قال يعني كان ذلك منه صلى الله عليه وسلم شفقة عليهما لأنهما لو ظن به ظن سوء كفر.
Also, Shafi'i in another place, he said actually that the act of the Prophet ﷺ was a merciful act, because he was merciful at them, because if they thought evil of the Prophet ﷺ, then they would have perished, or they would have they would have been committing a great sin then, and that would be very bad for them. So the Prophet ﷺ stopped them from going that way, down that road, so that they don't perish, or they don't destroy themselves thinking evil of the Prophet ﷺ. Another one of the acts that are permissible for the mu'takif is combing and cutting one's hair, clipping one's nails, cleaning one's body, wearing nice clothes, or wearing perfume are all permissible. Aisha reported that the Prophet ﷺ was performing a kitab, and he would put his head out through the opening to my room, and I would clean or comb in one narration. I would clean or comb in one narration his hair. I was menstruating at the time. So Aisha said that she was menstruating at the time. This is related by Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and Abu Dawood.
على هذا الباب يعني الستارة يعني موضوع
So in this narration, Aisha said that the Prophet ﷺ, while he was performing itikaf, he would extend his head through an opening to her room for her to clean his hair and to comb it, that was at a time when she was menstruating, because she wouldn't maybe because she didn't like to go into the mosque or for any reason. And also this hadith indicates that a menstruating woman can't touch a person who is performing itikaf, even though she is menstruating and he is performing itikaf. This does not harm him. And also another thing that we benefit from this hadith is that it is permissible for the mu'takif to extend part of his body, or for part of his body to leave the mosque while the rest of his body is inside the mosque, and for him to clean his hair and to comb his hair while he's making itikaf, and also, as we said, to touch the menstruating woman, and some other lessons. A third thing that one is permissible to do is the person may go out for some need that he must perform. Aisha reported, when the Prophet ﷺ performed the itikaf, he brought his head close to me so I could comb his hair, and he would not enter the house except to fulfill the needs a person has. This is related by Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and others. So what's meant here is that sometimes, for example, the restrooms might not be within the boundaries of the masjid, and rather they would be separate from the building of the masjid. So it would be permissible for the person to leave the building of the masjid to go to the restroom or to go do something that he has to do. Ibn al-Mundhir says that the scholars agree that the one who performs itikaf may leave the mosque in order to answer the call of nature, for this is something that he personally must perform, and he cannot do it in the mosque. Also, if he needs to eat or drink and there is no one to bring him his food, he may leave to get so there is no food in the masjid, and he has to eat, because this is something that one cannot help. So if he's hungry, then he has to leave to get the food for himself to eat. Of course, unless there's somebody who can bring the food to that person, to the masjid. Also, if one needs to vomit, he may leave the mosque to do so.
وكذا لا بأس أن يخرج إلى خارج المسجد ليستقبل.
Because again, this is something that one cannot help.
قال وكل ما لا بد منه ولا يمكن فعله في المسجد فله خروجه إليه ولا يجوز اعتكافه ما لم يقل. انتهى كلامه. كل شيء يحتاج إليه.
The control of the person.
ولا يمكن أن يفعل
for anything also for anything that he must do or that the mu'takif must do but cannot do in the mosque, he can leave it, meaning he can leave the mosque, and such acts will not void his i'tikaf even if they take a long time. Like if he has to go and find a restaurant or find a grocery store to buy his food from or things like that, then that might take a long time. It would be permissible for the person to do these things even if they would take a long time. Examples of these types of acts would include washing oneself from sexual defilement and cleaning his body or clothes from impurities. So if the person, for example, had a wet dream while he's performing at the calf, then he can leave the mosque to go to his house to perform ghusl if there is no place to make ghusl inside the mosque. Also, if some impurity touched his clothes, then he can leave the mosque to go to clean his clothes. Sa'id ibn Mansur records that Ali said, if a person is performing i'tikaf, he is to attend the Friday congregation of prayer, be present at funerals, visit the ill, and go to see his family about matters that are necessary. But he is to remain standing while visiting them. So this is assuming that, for example, there is no Friday prayer in the mosque where a person is performing i'tikaf. Then he has to leave the mosque to go and attend the Friday prayer. Of course, this is following the opinion that of the scholars who said that it is permissible for one to perform i'tikaf in a mosque where Friday prayers are not held, because there is another group of scholars who said that one cannot perform i'tikaf in a mosque that where Friday prayers are not held. And at the end of that hadith, Ali said that mu'takif can visit his family or visit an ill person as long as he does not spend time there, just to pass by them and to just pass by the ill person to make a very quick visit. Also, if there's something, there's a message that he has to, that one has to deliver to somebody, to his family or to somebody else, and nobody else can deliver that message, he can also go and deliver that message. But he has to do it while he's standing without sitting down. And Ali helped his nephew by giving him 700 dirhams to buy a servant, and the nephew said, I'm performing i'tikaf. Ali said, what blame would there be upon you if you go to the market to buy one? Qatada used to permit the person who was performing i'tikaf to follow the funeral procession, to follow the funeral procession and to visit the sick, but not to sit while doing so. So this is another indication that one can leave to perform something that he has to do.
قتادة رحمه الله. قتادة دعامة السدوسي أحد علماء التابعين الكبار رحمه الله. قال عن قتادة أنه كان يرخص للمعتكف أن يتبع الجنازة ويعود المريض ولا يجلس.
So this is also the opinion of Qatada, as was narrated by Ali, as was told by Ali to his nephew, that also Qatada used to permit the person who was performing the tikaf to follow the funeral and to visit the sick, but not to sit while doing so. Now Ibrahim al-Nakhai says that they prefer that the person who was performing the tikaf do the following deeds, and he was allowed to do them even if he did not do them to visit the sick. Again, Ibrahim al-Nakhai says that they prefer that the person who was performing the tikaf do the following deeds, and he was allowed to do them even if he did not do them, even if he did not do them, to visit the sick, to attend the Friday prayers, to witness the funeral, to go out to meet his needs, and not to enter a place that has a ceiling. Now this is also something that one can make a condition when he makes the niyyah to go to perform itikaf. He can make a condition make a conditional niyyah that he will be performing itikaf, but conditional upon his being able to leave if he has to, for example, to leave for a funeral or for performing some needs. But Ibrahim al-Nakhai said that even if he does not make the condition or the conditional niyyah, it is still permissible for him to do so. And those are, as we mentioned, to visit the sick, to attend the Friday prayers, to witness the funerals, to go out to meet his needs, and not to enter a place that has a ceiling.
وينادي أحد من أهل البيت يسأله كيف حال المريض وكذا وبلغوني فلان تسلم عليك وكذا. يعني مثلا في شخص مريض في البيت ويذهب وهو واقف على باب البيت من الخارج, يعني لا يدخل سقفا, يعني يدخلش.
So he can this not to enter a place that he that has a ceiling, meaning that he has to call somebody to come outside to visit them, to ask how they are doing and things like that.
المعتكف له أن يشهد الجمعة ويشهد الجنازة ويخرج إلى الحاجة. قال ولا يدخل المعتكف سقيفة إلا لحاجة.
Also, Al-Nakhai said that the one who is performing itikaf should not enter a roofed place unless there is a need to do so.
قال الخطابي وقال
الطائفي says a group of people say that the person performing itikaf may attend the Friday prayer, visit the ill, and witness funerals. This has been related from Ali, and it is the opinion of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, Al-Hasan al-Basri, and Al-Nakhai. Abu Dawood records from Aisha that the Prophet would visit the sick while performing itikaf. He would visit them without steering away from his path. He would visit them without steering away from his path. It has also been related from her that it is sunnah for the person not to leave his place of itikaf and visit the sick. So there is an apparent conflict here that it is a sunnah for the person not to leave his place of itikaf and visit the sick. So how can we reconcile this with what we had just recited from other people? The scholar said that this prohibition is for a person to go visit the sick and spend time with them and sit there with them, sit there for a while. This means that the person is not to leave his place of itikaf with the sole intention of visiting the sick. But if he passes by him, he may ask about him, provided it is not out of his way. Now, one fourth thing that among the things permissible for the mu'takif to do is that the person may eat, drink, and sleep in the mosque, and he should also keep it clean. He may make contracts for marriage, buying, selling, and so on. Actually, this last part about buying, selling, and buying and selling actually is incorrect, because it is prohibited for the person to buy and sell inside the mosque, even if he's not performing at the cap.
عن هذا لكن لا يخل بصحة الاعتكاف. أنا الاعتكاف الصحيح لا يخل بصحة الاعتكاف، ولكن البيع والشراء في المسجد منهي عنه.
Buying and selling inside the mosque is something are prohibited inside the mosque, but if one performs them, this does not nullify his
اعتكاف.
Now we move on to acts that nullify the اعتكاف. If a person performs one of the following acts, his i'tikaf will be nullified. Number one is intentionally leaving the mosque without any need to do so, even if it is for just a short time. In such a case, one would not be staying in the mosque, which is one of the principles of i'tikaf. Second, abandoning belief in Islam, as this would nullify all acts of worship. If you ascribe a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your work will fail and you will be among the losers. Number three and four, losing one's reason due to insanity or drunkenness or the onset of menstruation or post childbirth bleeding, all of which disqualifies a person for i'tikaf. Now about the menstruation and post childbirth bleeding, actually this is based on the weak hadith that we mentioned last time, that the Prophet ﷺ said, I do not allow the mosque for a menstruating woman. But actually this is a weak hadith. What was mentioned in that hadith is only for the sexually defiled person, but not for the menstruating woman. So for the menstruating woman, she can stay and she can spend time in the mosque, even at the cap. So that opinion was based on the opinion or the misunderstanding that the menstruating woman cannot stay in the mosque, while i'tikaf is spending time in the mosque, but this is incorrect. Menstruating women can stay in the mosque. Number four here, sexual intercourse, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but touch them not, that is your wife, and be at your devotions in the mosque. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us from having sexual intercourse while we perform i'tikaf. However, one may touch his wife without there being any desires. One of the Prophet's wives would comb his hair while he was performing i'tikaf. As for kissing or touching due to desire, Abu Hanifa and Ahmad say that it is not desirable, for it leads to something that is forbidden for the one performing i'tikaf. However, it does not nullify it unless one ejaculates. Malik says that it nullifies the i'tikaf, for it is an illegal touch regardless of whether the person involved ejaculates or not. From Ash-Shafi'i, there are two reports that correspond to the two preceding opinions. Now, making up i'tikaf. If an individual intends to perform a voluntary i'tikaf and then ends it before he completes it, he should make up that i'tikaf later. Some say that it is obligatory to do so.
يعني كان إيه بعد ما شرع في الاعتكاف رأى الأخبية نصبت في المسجد فقال آل بر وترد وأمر بنقض الأخبية. حصل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعني دخل في الاعتكاف ثم قطعه، لكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قضى الاعتكاف الذي اعتكفه، قضاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، كان إيه
Because on one occasion the Prophet ﷺ interrupted his i'tikaf, but he made up that i'tikaf. Now the question is that is whether this making up of that i'tikaf was obligatory or was it a favorable thing to do.
أو أنه يستحب فقط أن يقضيه ابتداء بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الترمذي اختلف أهل العلم في المعتكف إذا قطع اعتكافه قبل أن يتمه على ما نوى.
الترمذي says there is a difference of opinion about a person who ends his اعتكاف before his intended time has expired. Malik holds if he ends his i'tikaf early, it is obligatory upon him to make it up. He uses as proof the hadith which states that when the Prophet ﷺ abandoned his i'tikaf, he made it up during the following month of Shawwal.
الشافعي
states if he did not vow to perform a tikaf or he did not make it obligatory upon himself and then he left it early, he does not have to make it up unless he chooses to do so. So this is the more favorable opinion, is that if one vows to make a tikaf, then it would be obligatory for him to make it up if he ended up early. Otherwise, it would not be obligatory. As Shafi'i continues, one does not have to undertake his act, to undertake this act. If he did and then left it, he need not make it up since it was voluntary, except for the case of Hajj and Umrah. So Shafi'i holds that if anyone starts to do something that is voluntary and then interrupts it or ends it early without completing it, then it wouldn't be obligatory for him to make it up except for Hajj and Umrah. Notwithstanding this, the Imams agree that if one makes a vow to perform a tikaf for a day or a number of days and then voids his tikaf, it is obligatory upon him to make it up whenever he can. If he dies before he makes it up, then no one is obliged to make it up on his behalf. On the other hand, Ahmad argues, it is obligatory on his inheritors to make it up on his behalf. Abdul Razzaq related from Abdul Karim ibn Umayyah, who said, he heard Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utba say, our mother died while she still had some i'tikaf to perform. I asked Ibn Abbas and he said, perform i'tikaf on her behalf and fast. So Sa'id ibn Mansur recorded that Aisha performed i'tikaf on behalf of her brother after his death. So it is not obligatory for the inheritor to make up i'tikaf on behalf of somebody, but if he does it, then there is no harm in doing that. The retiring of the mu'takif to the mosque and setting up of a tent. Ibn Majah recorded from Ibn Umar that the Prophet ﷺ made i'tikaf during the last 10 days of Ramadan. Nafi' reported, Ibn Umar showed me the place where the Prophet ﷺ would perform his i'tikaf. He also reported that when the Prophet ﷺ performed the i'tikaf, he would spread out his bed behind the repentance pole. That is the pole that a companion had tied himself to until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance.
الإنسان مثلا معتاد هذا الأمر، فلو جاء مثلا في سنة من السنوات وفي شخص جاء قبله نصب فداء في هذا المكان، ما يجيش بقى أنه هو صاحب العادة ومعتاد، قال له لا ده المكان ده يعني أنا معتاد أن أنا أعتكف فيه دايما وكذا، فلا هنا المكان لمن سبق دايما أي شيء يعني مباح.
Now it, here's one important point that if somebody has performed itikaf by erecting a tent, for example, in one corner of the mosque for several years, and then one year he came to perform itikaf but he found that that place had been taken, he cannot claim that place for himself because the place is for the person who comes first. He cannot come and say, I have been making a tikaf in this place for several years and I have more right to it. The place is for the person who comes first. So it's a first come, first serve basis.
رضي الله عنه ربط بها نفسه حتى تاب الله تعالى عليه، قال يعني لا أفك نفسي حتى إن ينزل الله تعالى توبتي.
So the Prophet ﷺ used to make itikaf in the place next to the repentance pole with that Abu Lubab, one of those people. Who did not go to Ghazwat Tabuk, to the Battle of Tabuk. So one of those people, he tied himself to that post until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance. Abu Sa'id reported that the Prophet ﷺ performed the itikaf under a Turkish tent which had something over its openings. So the Prophet ﷺ used to erect a tent that had something like a straw mat as its door. The last issue here related to itikaf is making a vow to perform itikaf in a specific mosque. If someone makes a vow to perform itikaf in the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, the Prophet's Mosque in Medina, or in the Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, then he is to fulfill his vow. As the Prophet ﷺ said, one should not undertake journeys except to three mosques: the Masjid al-Haram, the Aqsa Mosque, or this mosque, meaning the Mosque of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is one issue, is that if a person makes a vow to perform a tikaf in one of these three mosques, then he has to fulfill his vow.
فهنا إذا نذر أن يعتكف في المسجد الحرام لا يجزئه أن يعتكف في أي مسجد آخر في الدنيا غير المسجد الحرام، لكن من نذر أن يعتكف في المسجد النبوي يكون مخيرا بين أن يعتكف في المسجد النبوي أو في المسجد الحرام، إذن إيه؟
Now, as for the rank of these three mosques, they rank the Masjid al-Haram first, and then Masjid al-Nabawi second, and then Al-Aqsa Mosque third. Which means that if one vows to make itikaf at Al-Masjid al-Haram, then he has to make it at Al-Masjid al-Haram. If he makes itikaf at the Prophet's Mosque, then he can perform itikaf in either the Prophet's Mosque or at Al-Masjid al-Haram. And that will suffice for him.
إذا نذر مثلا إنسان قال لله علي أن أعتكف ليلة في مسجد دار الفاروق،
and if one vows to make itikaf at Al-Aqsa Mosque, then he can he has the option of making itikaf at Al-Aqsa or the Prophet's Mosque or at Al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Now the second issue is whether if someone vows to perform itikaf in another mosque, it is not obligatory on him to fulfill it, and he may perform that itikaf in any mosque, for Allah did not specify any particular place for his worship, and there is no superiority of one mosque over another, with the exception of the three mosques mentioned earlier. It has been confirmed that the Prophet said, a prayer in my mosque is superior to 1,000 prayers in any other mosque but the Masjid al-Haram, and a prayer in the mosque in that mosque is superior to a prayer in my mosque by 100 prayers. Thus, if someone makes a vow to perform itikaf in the Prophet's mosque, he may fulfill it in the Masjid al-Haram, since that one is superior to the Prophet's mosque. So with this we conclude talking about itikaf and rules related to itikaf, and next time inshallah we will start talking about the rules and issues related to funerals and the sunan of preparing the funeral, preparing the dead person for burial, and so on and so forth, inshallah, starting from next week.
لماذا أخرج الشافعي من القاعدة الحج والعمرة؟ لأن جاءت الآية في المحصر، فإن أحصرتم فما استيسر من الهدي، وكذا قصة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج في عمرة الحديبية، كانت عمرة التطوع، عمرة الحديبية عمرة التطوع.
And the question is, why did الشافعي exclude حج and عمرة from or particularly عمرة from his opinion that as long as the act is a voluntary thing, then if one ends it early, he wouldn't have to make it up except for Hajj and Umrah. Because of the and the answer is that because of the practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when and also what came in the Quran, that if for any reason one ends up his umrah early, then he would have to do something to make it up to make up that umrah.